Do you know where the single largest concentration of sturgeon in the world exists? Well, if you said Lake Winnebago and the waterway system there, you would have been right. Lake Winnebago waterway system holds the largest single concentration of sturgeon in the world, and sturgeon can also be found in a number of other areas in the state. We're going to be talking about this fascinating fish and the upcoming Sturgeon Spectacular with my two guests, Kathy Schmidt Klein and Craig Molitor. Kathy is an outreach coordinator at the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. She's one of the authors of the book, which I really loved. It's People of the Sturgeon, Wisconsin's Love Affair with an Ancient Fish. Kathy, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Larry.
And also with us today, our other guest is Craig Molitor. Craig is president of the Fond du Lac Convention Center and Visitors Bureau. And Craig, thank you for joining us as well.
It's awesome to be here, and it's great to have a repeat performance here with Kathy. We were here last year, so
well,
thanks so much.
You know, that's such a fun event. We'll talk about sturgeon for sure, and we're going to talk about the big event that's coming up there. And you may have some stories as you listen in here about sturgeon, or maybe you have some questions about the sturgeon in our state. I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You know, I have had some great dealings with the Sea Grant Institute over time, and somebody asked me, well, why do we have a Sea Grant Institute right here in the middle of the country? So maybe tell us first about the Sea Grant Institute.
That's always my first quiz question for groups that I talk to. Why do we have a Sea Grant Institute in Wisconsin? Well, Wisconsin has a coastline of its own, and it's the Great mm-hmm. Lakes coastline. So that's why there is a Sea Grant program in Wisconsin. It's a statewide and federal government partnership, and it's through NOAA, and every coastal state in the country has a Sea Grant program, and they're usually based at universities in their states, and we fund research on the Great Lakes, since we're here in Wisconsin, and we also do outreach and education. So this writing this book is part of that outreach and education mission of Sea Grant.
Yeah, what sparked your interest in sturgeon?
I was fairly new to Sea Grant, but Fred Binkowski, who's one of our aquaculture specialists at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee School of Freshwater Sciences, he came to us and said, hey, I've been talking to Ron Brook, who's the sturgeon biologist with the Wisconsin DNR. We just think there's a lot of really cool things about sturgeon, or about the culture of sturgeon, Wisconsin, and, you know, can Sea Grant help us tell that story? And I started jumping up and down and said, that sounds terrific. I would love to. I was a science writer at the time. So it was really Fred and Ron who came up with the idea for this book. But it really came about and into fruition because we had a lot of volunteers from around the Lake Winnebago area who did oral histories, particularly Sturgeon for Tomorrow members.
It's a wonderful book. I love that book. And Craig, lots of activities going on in relation to sturgeon coming up.
It's true. I quote unquote fell in love with sturgeon in the same sort of way that Kathy did. I grew up in Michigan, and we all know what ice fishing is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But something very different was happening out on the frozen surface of Lake Winnebago. And I moved here 7 years ago from Lower Michigan. I quickly realized that it was the sturgeon spearing phenomena, and I just think it's such an awesome thing. And you know, we say, hey, this fish has been around for millennia, it deserves a festival, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing. We're creating a festival sort of to celebrate the sturgeon.
I have one story. A friend of mine was learning how to scuba dive and took a scuba class that is on Lake Mendota. And the first time they went down, there was a group of about 10 of them, and they went slowly down in a reasonably shallow area, and the instructor had them in a circle. And while they were in that circle, about a six-footer sturgeon swam to the into the middle of the circle, and it was like everybody, he said, everybody just rushed to the top because they were funny. So afraid of the sturgeon. But you don't really have to be afraid of sturgeon.
We say they are so ugly that you just have to love them. They're cute in their ugliness.
I think they're cute.
I kind of think they're cute as well. And the population, here we are, we've got this huge concentration of them here in Wisconsin. And there are different species of sturgeon. What do we have here in Wisconsin? We've got
Well, we have the lake sturgeon, and not just in Lake Winnebago, but we have them in the Mississippi River and the Wisconsin River, too. They're up in Lac du Flambeau as well. But we also have the shovel nose. Mm-hmm. And then there are paddlefish, too, which aren't quite. Now, I'm not the biologist, mind you. Mm-hmm. I'm the science writer. But a lot of people talk about paddlefish. They're not quite sturgeon, but I'm sure I have all of my biology friends rolling around right now. What is she saying?
Here's one from you. Now, I don't know if either of you have eaten sturgeon.
Oh, yeah.
But Pete from Prairie to Sheen wants to know what sturgeon tastes like. Don't tell me chicken either.
No, way better than chicken.
you know, we asked, is it Bill?
Bill Casper.
Bill Casper. Mm-hmm. He was on air on the Around the Corner with John McGivern show, and he was asked that question, what does sturgeon taste like? And he looked at his sister and said, tastes like sturgeon.
They've been eating sturgeon their whole lives. So yeah. I always say it's like a very substantial fish. Yeah. It's very meaty tasting. It's not fishy tasting. I guess, you know, people might wonder that, but it is an ancient fish. It doesn't have bones like our modern day fish do. It's a very you can steak out the fish because it doesn't have, you're not filleting the fish. So you can have a really nice big fat sturgeon steak and cook it in some butter.
And the consistency of it is more like beef than it is anything else, isn't it?
We hosted a group called the Association of Great Lake Outdoor Writers in 2013, and one of their activities is to have a celebrity cook-off amongst that group, and they're tasked with creating recipes around a mystery ingredient. And so our mystery ingredient when they were in Fond du Lac was sturgeon. And so the two teams created all types of, I got to tell you, my favorite was deviled eggs with sturgeon roe on top. And it added just this really fun, salty, you know, what quote unquote caviar tastes like. And it was really tasty.
Boy, I'd like to be the judge for that one. That would have been a lot of, that would have been a lot of fun to judge that contest.
Yeah.
Well, so, and you mentioned the roe, the caviar, and frankly, that's it's a different kind of caviar than the sturgeon we find in Russia, but it has its own taste, its own flavor that's a little different, but good.
Apparently, I'm not a caviar expert, but people who do try lots of different caviar say that lake sturgeon is very high up there. And actually, you know, that's one of the reasons why lake sturgeon was almost decimated in the Great Lakes was because of caviar. When European sources of caviar were depleted, a bunch of Europeans came over to the United States and started off on the East Coast with Atlantic sturgeon. And then when they depleted that resource, they came to the Great Lakes and started fishing.
Started in on that.
Lake sturgeon for caviar, yes.
That's one of the things about this festival that I love so much is that what we're celebrating, I think, is this the fact that we have such an incredibly healthy population in the Lake Winnebago chain, and that came across from really, really hard work from folks like Sturgeon for Tomorrow and Ron and some just really, really talented and dedicated people. So as much as anything, we're celebrating conservation and just good use of our resources.
I always like to say it's one of the best stories we can tell about Wisconsin, I think.
I do, too. And maybe just for those who aren't familiar, we have the harvesting. I mean, we do harvest a lot of sturgeon every year, but there's a a very controlled system, Kathy, and I don't know if you can comment on that or not.
Sure. It's an incredibly sustainable harvest, and that's because the DNR scientists have been monitoring this population of sturgeon since the 1940s. So they have an incredible source of data on this population. They have a very good idea about how many sturgeon are in Lake Winnebago, so they can set, you know, conservative harvest limits every year. And the sturgeon spearing season is very strictly regulated in that they set different harvest caps for different types of sturgeon, young females, older females, and then male sturgeon. And when any one of those caps is reached, they shut down the spear season for that year.
So it's really well regulated, and it's set that way to ensure that we're going to have, hopefully, have sturgeon forever.
Yeah, definitely. And our goal with the festival is not so much to get more folks out there spearing, although that's fine from our standpoint. Our goal is really to celebrate the pomp and circumstance around this, and the fact that it's been happening in these families now for several generations, and there's so much quirkiness and fun associated with it that we just thought, let's join in, let's celebrate those that have done so much to make this population healthy. I'm talking about Bill Casper and Mary Lou Schneider, just folks that have done awesome job helping the environment.
And this event is, by the way, is February 10th through the
12th.
12th.
Yeah. It's tied in every year to the opening weekend of sturgeon spearing. So this year it's the 10th through the 12th. But again, every year it's going to be essentially the second weekend in February. And we've got, saying to Kathy off the air, because you never know what the weather is going to be like, we've got events on the ice, off the ice, indoors, outdoors, throughout the community.
And I love the titles that you have for
right.
some of these events.
Right.
You'll look at them and say, oh, gosh, I want to go and do that. Yeah. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I got to tell you, the thing we're most excited about is so many of your listeners know the Guys on Ice play, right? Well, we are, for the first time, performing Guys on Ice on the ice. And it just seemed like such...
Oh, man, that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know this this production, it's just awesome. It's like a three-man Broadway-style musical, and Garrison Keillor-esque.
And we'll talk some more about that and more about the event and more about sturgeon right after this look at the news. You stay with us. You know, in 2012, a sturgeon that was 125 years old was caught and released back into Lake Winnebago. She weighed 240 pounds, and she was 7 feet 3 inches long.
Wow.
There's a sturgeon for you. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Why did I bring that up? Well, we're talking about sturgeon in Wisconsin today, and we're talking about a great event, the second annual Sturgeon Spectacular that is going to be going on in the Fond du Lac area with our two guests, Kathy Schmidt-Klein, and Craig Molitor. Kathleen is an outreach coordinator with the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. Craig is president of the Fond du Lac Convention Center and Visitors Bureau. So you may have a question about sturgeon, or maybe a story to share, or maybe a question about that upcoming event, which is February 10th through the 12th. I hope you'll join in. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Kathy, Richard, and Madison called to say the book Fishes in Wisconsin by George Becker is a great reference. He says the author does a great job of talking about the difference between sturgeon and paddlefish.
Thank you so much, Richard. I do know that book. It's the Bible of fish in Wisconsin, and UWC Grant actually helped publish that back in the 80s with UW Press. So thank you for that shout out. I appreciate it.
And Michael from Green Bay would like to know why Lake Winnebago has such a big sturgeon population. We talk a little bit about that, but there's some good reasons, Kathy.
Yes. Well, sturgeon is a very unique fish in that it lives for a long time. It can live to be over 100 years old. But also, the females don't start reproducing until their mid-20s. So it's a very special fish in terms of fisheries management. You can't just start stocking sturgeon 1 year and then, boom, have a fishery the next year. It takes decades and decades and decades. Luckily, the state of Wisconsin has been managing sturgeon since 1903. So that's a pretty big deal.
That's an amazing number, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is. And that's why we're very lucky that somebody decided to start doing that. They started managing in 1903. In 1915, the state closed down all sturgeon harvests. They were just worried about severe depletion. A lot of it was going on in the Great Lakes. The sturgeon were big trouble. Lake Winnebago, not quite as much because there wasn't as much commercial fishing in Lake Winnebago. But then in the 30s, people around Lake Winnebago wanted to regain access to spearing the fish. That was during the Depression. And you can imagine that 7-foot fish you were just talking about, and we said it's very good fish to eat. For a family, especially a farming family who is probably, you know, trying to hold on to the farm around Lake Winnebago, getting a 7-foot sturgeon is going to feed your family for quite a bit. So they reopened the spearing season, and that's when the spearing season actually allows the state, it was the Conservation Department then, it's the DNR now, it allows the state to keep tabs on that sturgeon. So every sturgeon that somebody brings in that they've speared is recorded by the DNR. They're weighed, they're measured, they're checked to see if they've been tagged before. And that, again, all goes into this huge database of information that the DNR keeps on the lake sturgeon. So I would say we have that big population because the state has been managing it, but there's another part to the story, and that's a group called Sturgeon for Tomorrow.
And you're involved with that, are you not?
I'm not involved with it. I've worked with them before. I've attended several of their banquets, and I've done a sturgeon patrol shift before on the Wolf River. But they formed, this is actually the 40th anniversary of Sturgeon for Tomorrow around the Lake Winnebago system. So they are a group of citizens living around Lake Winnebago. Most of them are spearers. And it started back in 1977 with Bill Casper, Dan Greschel, Bob Link, Vic Schneider, and Lloyd Lemke. And it was actually Bill Casper was out on the ice 40 years ago in his Green Bay Packer shanty, which is definitely an icon for Lake Winnebago. And he was worried about it was not a good spearing season. They were not getting a lot of fish that season. And he was worried about the lake sturgeon. And he wanted to figure out if they could figure out how to raise them in a hatchery. And that was a very difficult thing to do. Nobody had been able to do it. So he founded this group with these others that I mentioned, and they started petitioning the DNR to start learning more about the lake sturgeon. And it was definitely a back-and-forth dance between Sturgeon for Tomorrow and the DNR, but ultimately they developed a terrific working partnership to work together. They did figure out how to raise lake sturgeon in a hatchery. Lake sturgeon isn't, we don't have a big population of lake sturgeon in Lake Winnebago because they're stocked, but being able to raise them in a hatchery means that you can research them. So that's been a really big deal. And Sturgeon for Tomorrow also helps support a sturgeon patrol during spawning season, which really basically got rid of the poaching problem. Which was another big issue for the population.
Very cool. Bob in Krivitz has something for us. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hi. You were talking about this fish that was 7'1". Okay, I worked, I volunteered, my wife and I, for 5 years as a patrol up there at Shiocton. And some of the back tributaries coming off of there. Anyhow, about 40 years ago, I was fishing muskies up in Woodruff area, between Woodruff and Minocqua. I was in a restaurant, Cross Trails restaurant, early one morning, and the weather was just terrible. And I read about the one that was caught in Lac de Flambeau on hook and line. Okay, and they had it, and it is mounted for anybody who wants to see a large fish. There's one mounted, the Indian Reservation had it mounted in the community center. And years later, I took my children up there. Right now, it's in the library on Lac de Flambeau, right on the main street. You're not going to miss it. It's 7'1", 196 pounds. Okay, and two kids caught this on a hook and line, and it took them 2.5 hours to get it in. From what the caretaker was telling me at the community center, they caught it and they were in a rowboat. Okay, and they rowed it to shore and then landed it or beached it. And the village of Lac de Flambeau paid to have this thing mounted. And this 40-pound muskie that's hanging on the wall right next to it looks like a middle.
That story sounds like a Hemingway short story.
Yeah, you can imagine a sturgeon that size pulling those guys around in their rowboat. Thanks a lot, Bob, for sharing that with us. And you know, as we look at this, Craig, and your event coming up, people are going to be able to see some sturgeon, are they not?
Oh, absolutely. My advice to folks that want to see the sturgeon is go to one of two spots that we favor on the east side of the state. It's Wentz, just by the Winnebago County line and the Fond du Lac County line. And on the west side, on the east side of the lake, go to Jim and Linda's Supper Club. And there's so west side of the state or west side of the lake, go to Wentz. East side of the lake, go to Jim and Linda's. You can also get some great food and beverage at both of those places
while you're there.
And you'll see the folks bringing the sturgeon in off of the lake.
Very cool. John and Denzer, we'll turn to you next. Bob, again, thank you for calling. Let's go to John. Hi, John.
How are you today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to comment that I've been going about 10 years for sturgeon. My best friend I go with has gone about 50 years. But when I started going, my greatest impression was how the sturgeon spears want to protect the species. You have the sturgeon patrol, but, you know, they're so dedicated to going along with the regulations and seeing that species is protected. You have sturgeon spears that, you know, they might go 20 years without ever seeing a sturgeon, or they might get two or three in their lifetime. And when you look at deer hunters, if they go a couple years without seeing a deer, they're ready to quit.
Yeah.
So they're very dedicated.
And probably many of them are members of Sturgeon for Tomorrow. I would bet.
Yeah, a lot of them are. There are five chapters of Sturgeon for Tomorrow around the lake. And, yeah, I would agree with John, definitely, because spears have actually, you know, recommended to the DNR new regulations for sturgeon spearing. They know what's going on the ice. So if they perceive a problem, they'll go to the DNR and say, hey, we need to address this. And I'll also add, they've actually raised more than $700,000 for sturgeon research and management.
There's a great documentary out there that was released about 3 years ago. It's called Frozen Chosen, and actually won a Midwest Emmy. But anyway, it focuses on two different families in the area, and what you gain from watching that show is you realize it's all about family, and it's grandfathers passing on or fathers passing on to fathers who pass their kids to the kids to the kids. And so it's not just hunting and fishing, it's teaching about laws and regulations and how to do things right and traditions and history. So it's such a family-centric activity. That's one of the things I love about it the most.
John, thanks again. Vivian in Green Bay, on to you. Vivian, hi.
Hi. Sturgeon in the Menominee River, border water, Wisconsin, Michigan. I've been to sturgeon watch presentations here in Green Bay. And it seems to me that population of sturgeon isn't well recognized. There was no chapter to deal with the Menominee River sturgeon. I've never fished for them, caught them by accident, including 5.5-footer that took 40 minutes to even get a look at. But and that was on a worm, so you never know where those guys are going to be. But I just wondered two things. How do we get a little more respect for that population? And how are they affected? Because some of the sturgeon in the Menominee River are dam locked.
Yeah.
There are several dams. So you might have a stretch of 35 miles between the dams. But how does that affect the fish?
That's a good question. We may or may not be able to answer. Kathleen, you want to take a shot at that?
Again, I don't work for the DNR, and I'm not a biologist, but I do have a little bit of understanding about what's going on in the Menominee River. Again, that's not a Lake Winnebago sturgeon, so that's a different population of sturgeon that would be a Green Bay, Lake Michigan sturgeon. Lake Winnebago sturgeon can mix with Lake Michigan sturgeon because Lake Winnebago is ultimately connected to Green Bay. That population of sturgeon is managed differently than the Lake Winnebago population because they do go out into Lake Michigan. I do believe that there is some work going on with some fishway passages for those dams on the Menominee River. But there is no sturgeon for tomorrow chapter for that population of sturgeon because there is no spearing for that population of sturgeon. Lake Winnebago is the only place where sturgeon can be speared. And actually, that's the only way that Lake Sturgeon can be taken from Lake Winnebago.
So maybe some sort of offshoot of Sturgeon for Tomorrow, though, could be started for the Menominee.
Certainly, but they won't be spearing them there.
No, they wouldn't be spearing them there, but, you know, it's a way to promote and do exactly what Vivian would like to do, which is to call more attention to those sturgeon.
Right. I'm no expert on that topic, but if you look at folks like Ducks Unlimited and Sturgeon for Tomorrow, it's the outdoor people that are so involved in preservation, and I'm sure there's a model out there like Sturgeon for Tomorrow, and I'm sure there are Sturgeon for Tomorrow participants that would be more than interested in saying, here's what we do to be successful in propagating this population, even though in this area it wouldn't be a spearing sport.
Yeah,
and I'll add that the reason why there isn't that spearing is because the Great Lakes sturgeon have not reached the level of population density that we have in Lake Winnebago. So the population in Lake Michigan alone right now is about 1% of what it was historically. So thanks to what we've learned about Lake Winnebago sturgeon, there's a lot of restoration going on around the Great Lakes now for lake sturgeon. So hopefully, you know, 50, 60 years, we might have enough sturgeon to get some more outdoor enthusiasts out there.
There you go.
We'll be around for that part.
Oh, come on.
Unfortunately. Well, you know, just to that point, James emailed to say that when the last dams were removed from the Baraboo River, there was talk of sturgeons returning to the river, and he just wondered, has that happened, and if not, why not?
No, I'm not familiar with the Baraboo, yeah, unfortunately.
I'm not, and maybe somebody from the DNR is listening and call and let us know if there have been any activities. And speaking of activities, you mentioned Guys on Ice is an activity as part of this Sturgeon Spectacular on February 10th through the 12th. That's one event, and it's even going to be on ice, that musical. It's really so fun and so funny.
Yeah.
But there are... You've got a snow sculpting competition going on.
Here's the laundry list in no specific order. Of course, so the Guys on Ice, we're going to have two performances Saturday, a matinee and an evening, and then a matinee performance Sunday, and it's never been done. So, and again, it's very Garrison Keillor-esque.
Yeah.
You can have a 12-year-old, a 30-year-old, and an 80-year-old laughing, but they're probably laughing at slightly different things throughout the show. But in addition to that, we've got the Wisconsin State Snow Sculpting Championship. We've got a Fat Tire Bike Race, which is hosted by Wheel and Sprocket. We're going to have a softball tournament. We're going to have a chili crawl downtown. We have some awesome musical events that are being hosted by our local art center, which is called Thelma Sadoff Center for the Arts. They're going to be doing an opening concert, and they're going to be doing a concert, an after-party concert in Lakeside Park that night. We're going to have fireworks, a bonfire. One of the things that we're really excited about this year is that Kathy's going to come to town, and we're going to put her in this beautifully restored historic church in an area that we call the Galloway Village in Fond du Lac. And Sunday morning, there's going to be an ecumenical service hosted by Salvation Army. And then after that service, Kathy's going to do a lecture or a talk or a conversation, however you pose that. And we're going to ask some of our local sturgeon fanatics to come and supply supply sturgeon memorabilia, spears, decoys, and so on and so forth. So, and Kathy gave a presentation last year at about this time, and it was standing room only. So this gal can bring out the people. So we wanted to bring her back Sunday at Galloway Village. Come see Kathy talk, and it's really fascinating. There's also going to be Clydesdale horses at Galloway Village after your speech, so you're not going to be competing with the horses.
I think my kids are going to love that.
Bring them. Awesome.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you, for people who are coming, this sounds like it's kind of an event that you could spend the whole weekend, accommodations and hotels and all that sort of thing.
Well, that's a softball question. I appreciate it because I work for a visitors bureau, and that's our goal. Yeah, we've got specials at a lot of the restaurants in the area, and most of our hotels have specials that they're running and associated with this. Children's Museum is going to be doing an overnight stay for some of the kids. The hotels are putting together nice little special packages. If you don't mind this shameless plug,
sure.
I would ask folks to visit fdl.com/SS. Again, that's fdl.com/SS. You'll see our full schedule. You'll get some itinerary suggestions. You'll learn more about the hotel packages and just check out all the fun stuff that's about to happen.
Jill would put that up on our Facebook page. She's already got it up. She's fast.
Man, she's quick.
she's really quick. So if you didn't get all that, just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can certainly find all that information. Rita emailed to ask how catch and release works with spear fishing. You don't. It's not catch and release.
No.
And also, is this a sturgeon for sale for the public? And I'm not sure if she means for dinner or something like that, or if there is a sturgeon dinner?
No, there is not. That's a good point. It's a recreational fishery. It's illegal to sell sturgeon in Wisconsin or transport it out of the state. And that goes for the caviar as well. And that's to protect the fish for the people of Wisconsin. There is no commercial fishery for lake sturgeon in Lake Winnebago.
And the fishing itself, I mean, there's certain size limits and so forth, and people use decoys that are of a certain length to help them estimate the size.
Yeah. The decoys themselves have become works of art. And
they are.
Mary Lou Schneider is actually, she and Bill Casper have been in the Smithsonian Institute showing off the things that they use to participate in this activity, and some of those are her own hand-carved decoys. They're really just so awesome.
They really are, and there's some great photos in the book that you guys put together. One of the things I really enjoyed about the book was the great color photography, and there are, I'm remembering now, some photos of some of the decoys, which are just fabulous.
Yes. Our photographer, Bob Rashid, who has since passed away, he photographed all sorts of decoys and people from around Lake Winnebago. He had a great time traveling around meeting all of those people.
This book is stunning.
Again,
a shameless promotion. I have nothing to gain here, but it is just a gorgeous coffee table style book.
Yeah, and the title of it again, we should mention that again.
People of the Sturgeon, Wisconsin's Love Affair with an Ancient Fish, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And we have a link on Facebook now to a video of sturgeon underwater in the Wolf River. So if you want to go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, you want to see a sturgeon underwater, or more than one sturgeon underwater, go to our Facebook page. And back to the events, a lot of this is just free. Just show up and attend.
Absolutely. Watch the snow sculptors. Watch a softball game. Ice kiting is huge in the area, and the Winnebago Association of Kiteboarders will be out there entertaining folks out on at their site. So we're starting to take readings on the ice, so we'll know a little bit more about that aspect of it. But if you want to see a fun sport, check out ice kiting, even from the shore.
It's just gorgeous
to watch, yeah.
And bring your own skates, because there's public ice skating, if I'm not mistaken.
Public ice skating in Lakeside Park. All of the concerts, we have music on and off the ice in town, in the park. All of it's free. So just like sturgeon spearing phenomena itself, the festival itself is free.
February 10th through the 12th, and we even have a Spear the Fatty Fat Tire bike race.
That's right. It's a Fat Tire bike race, and these guys are nuts. I mean, they were out last year when it was 2 below, and they were loving it.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. Thank you both so much for being with us today to talk about it. February 10th through the 12th, the second annual Sturgeon Spectacular and Fond du Lac. Our guests today did a wonderful job. Kathy Schmidt-Klein from the Sea Grant Institute, Craig Molitor, president of the Fond du Lac Convention Center and Visitors Bureau. And you know what? You're a good listener, too. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.